I want to open up here with our opening scripture for the ordination of Jacob Nork out of 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And I want this to be the hallmark of your life from here on out. I know it's been in the past, but from here on out, it's like you're putting a pin in the map, in the timeline, and starting from there. At this point, Jacob, if you and your wife would come. I'd like you to introduce yourself and your wife to the congregation. I know this side of the family, this side of the knows you, but go ahead.
Yeah, so my name is Jacob Nork, and this is my wife, Erica. And, I'm originally from Oregon. My wife's from here in Kansas City. She's a local, and we serve at the International House of Prayer. We're missionaries, and we live to serve God and just whatever He's speaking to us, and from season to season, timing to timing, to know what He's saying and doing, and to be obedient to Him, and we live for that. And one of our biggest goals is to do our family well, you know, because that's going to impact society. And it's an honor to be here, and we enjoy being here. You want to say it?
I was going to say, does the other preacher in the family have anything to say?
No, I would agree that it is an honor to be here. Just Jacob's interactions with Pastor Jeff and just him coming back and just going, he's so godly. He has such a hunger, and just even the things being chaplains together and how he'll go, Pastor Jeff raises the bar so much higher when we leave our meetings and go, he's just challenging us. And so it just, I felt so much peace about this whole process, and just went, even coming to your guys' Wednesday night service and went, wow, God, his spirit was here and we felt it. We felt his presence and even just the word of God going forth. And so it is an honor. We feel super honored and blessed and just encouraged to even get to come under a covering like this.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. At this point, in ministry, there are different designations in different denominations. There is, we have the licensed minister, which is a person that has exhibited a call, and yet they still need some time and tutelage to grow in that ministry. There's an evidence of a call, they have a call, and they have shown that they're ready to minister. And then there's the next step, which is ordination. You've evidenced the call, you have been shown worthy, and God has set you apart into the full-time ministry, into the ministry of being an ordained minister. When you talk to many organizations out there, they say, are you ordained or are you just licensed? Now, there's no difference in what you can perform or how much God can use you, but the world sees ordination as a higher level. And ordination is a little bit higher level because you have got to that point where God says, okay, it's time to extend your ministry. And when I prayed about this back months ago when it first came to my attention, I asked God, I said, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to extend his ministry from where he's at today to where he won't have any of those boundaries that he has to stay within, that he will be extended to do what I've called him to do. I said, okay, Lord, that's not putting him back into licensed minister. That's taking him on to ordination. So I heard from him. So you have to blame him. There's no blame. Okay, at this point, what I want to do is they're going to have communion together to solemnize this event. So if you guys stay right there. Carolyn, go ahead. No.
It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice and washes me. God's precious sacrifice. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my
out of 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Do you promise to walk worthily of the vocation to which you are called, seeking always to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord, and to do you promise diligently and faithfully to perform the duties of a minister of the gospel with no thought of personal reward or honor, having as your primary motives the winning of persons to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and the building up of the Church of Christ through inspiration, teaching, exhortation, and stewardship to the glory of God? Do you so promise?
I will.
Amen. I'd like to call for the elders of the church, please. this time being surrounded by the elders of the church, the laying on of hands, we confer upon you the office of ordination to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this life that has been set apart, that he has said yes to you. More times than he knows, he said yes to you. Lord, you've raised him up from a young child through life to this moment in time. Lord, let this be the launching pad that takes him out into all manner of walk, wherever you call him, wherever you send him, wherever you take him, whatever ministry you bring before him, let him do it as unto you. Let him keep his hands busy with what you've got going on. Give him fruit for his ministry and his labors. We just ordain him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Jacob, at this point, I would like to offer you these few things. One is your certificate of ordination. A wallet card of ordination. This minister's manual that was used in the service for your to give you the charge. Amen. Brother, thank you. We do have some more going on, so if you'll enjoy the rest of the service. Praise God. Excuse me while I... Glory to God. It's always a good thing to see someone get saved. It's a better thing to see them be discipled and grow. And then to see someone that starts getting the tug of God on their life, that, God, I want to do more, I want to do more. Many people are content to sit in the pews, to sit in the service, to be the sheep. But when God starts calling the shepherds forward and they start realizing who and what they are, and then they don't just go running, but they spend time getting prepared and trained. And God brought him here to the point that he not only got prepared and trained, but God provided him a helpmate to minister with him, to help him to grow as a minister. And as we go forward in this, I want to bring forth a few scriptures that show you the standing in the people that you stand with at this point in time. In Exodus 28, verse 1, it says, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that they may minister to me as a priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." The first recorded moment that we have in Scripture of someone being set apart for ministry was Aaron. Now, we hear about Melchizedek. He ministered before God. But this was the first time we see someone set apart that had not been ministering before, that God set them apart to ministry. And I was reminded of that, and I said, you know, God, this is great. But what you're doing in him, he's in that same position. But we look at what Aaron did and all that he did and all that his lineage did, and we're humbled by that. But he had a beginning. He had a point in time that he was set apart, hands laid upon him to be minister, called out by God, chosen by God. In Acts 26, verse 15 and 16, we see, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you.'" This was Saul on the road to Tarsus. He was going to do some things to some Christians that's unspeakable in these surroundings. But God intervened in that life and changed the course of his life. And we have the record of Paul's life from then on. We have all the letters in the Gospels that he wrote, that are in the New Testament that he wrote, that really give us a lot of the meat about how we're to live in grace and how we're to walk in grace and how we're to minister. God called him out of his situation and said, "I'm going to change your life from this moment forward." Another instance, in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, we see that we have such trust through Christ toward God that not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not to the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When you read the Old Testament, oftentimes you get the veil. You get the heaviness. Until you start seeing the Spirit that God has in those messages, in those stories, and what he's actually saying. Because if you go by the law, you get shackled. But when you see what God did in the Old Testament to bring forth what Christ was going to do, and then the New Testament, you start seeing the life and the Spirit of it, and it starts becoming joy instead of heaviness. Many people won't read the Old Testament and say, I don't understand all the do's and don'ts and thou's and begots. And, well, who does? But when we serve a risen Savior, he opens up all that was done, all the way back from Adam and Eve sinned, and God killed animals to clothe them. A blood sacrifice occurred right then and there to cover their sin. All the way through the bloodline, Christ's presence was to provide covering, to provide safety, to provide ministry too. Think about it. God had to perform a sacrifice and minister to man in the garden so that they could be covered. He gives us that same position to minister to others. The first guideline for a minister is God provides you a message. We don't just come and find it in Reader's Digest and, hey, this is a good one, or send off for them and, hey, we got a stack of sermons in the mail. I think I'm going to do this one and that one. God provides you a message. It's not how wonderful a person can speak. It's not how crafty you are with words or how charismatic you are in the pulpit. Those things help. But if you're not seeking God for that message, it doesn't do anybody any good. But see, a minister's position is not to spend all of his time here. It's to spend all of his time here. As you spending time before God and with God and in his presence, like Moses did, then when you come before the people, your message will glow like Moses' face glowed. They will get it because you spent the time. We have to spend the time before God because we are the messenger from God. He gives us the message for the people. And in giving us the message to the people, we have to be ready to listen. What are you saying, God? God, what are you doing? What are you pouring into me? And as he's pouring into you, you then have that to pour out. May you spend so much time with God that, like Moses, your face glows. That people say, oh my goodness, what is it about you? There's a light coming out of you. May that be your legacy. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 7, says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies. But in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you spend time before God as a minister, or as a layperson, you end up with the correct mindset. The mind of Christ, as he went to suffer, he never said a word. He never spoke out. And then while he's there with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, and his back chewed open with the scars, he said, Father, forgive him. What kind of mindset is that? Because someone goes, I said earlier this morning in our Sunday school, if someone goes, gets ready to stomp on your toe, you back up and say, don't you dare. We have an immediate protection. No, you're not going to say that. You're not going to go there. But he, in the middle of that, still said, Father, forgive him. We need that mindset that as we walk through life, we're walking so much in forgiveness that they can't do anything to us. That's when you can reach them, because you know what you do? You blow their mind. They don't know how to categorize you. They can't trip your trigger. They can't push you over. They can't get you stymied, because you're already walking in forgiveness. As you walk in that kind of forgiveness, you're ministering, whether you need to or not. You're just doing it. As you do this, you'll see people as God sees them, with love. You'll minister the word with love. The focus of your ministry should always be to glorify God and edify those you minister to. If you're not seeing people grow in your ministry individually, you're not really being a good steward of the ministry. They should grow. But you know, for them to grow, you grow. Because God takes you to a deeper level. Today, as we set apart you apart as an ordained minister, be humble before God. Say what he says to do, or says to say. Do what he says to do. Your model is Christ. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I see the Father, hear the Father say. You do that and you will be true to your calling. Amen. At this point, I'd like to call the two of you back here. We're going to do the benediction. I know you guys have been here and you know the Brikit Kohanim. Basically, it's where God told Moses to tell Abraham or Aaron that this message, this blessing, is to be said over the people. And that when this is said over the people, God will put his name on the people. What better thing than to have God's name on your life, on your heart, that you're his ownership, but you're also receiving his blessing? Go ahead.
Elecha v'chunecha Yesa Adonai Panav elecha V'esham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you, and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Two things left. One is we're all going to come up and give the right hand of fellowship. And two, this is the Bible that was used in your ceremony. Blessings,
thank
brother.
Thank you so much.
Come and greet Jacob as a new minister.